Today is April 10th, 2025, and you're listening to Space News First Up.
Did you know Space News now has 6 newsletters? We recently added an audio, video, and live events newsletter and are now launching our bi-weekly China report. To sign up, visit spacenews.com/newsletters.
Here are today's top headlines in space. NASA Administrator nominee Jared Isaacman told senators he believed NASA should pursue human moon and Mars programs simultaneously. International space agencies stress the importance of partnerships with the United States and each other despite geopolitical strains. Military space alliances are also largely unaffected by geopolitics. The Space Force is preparing a strategy aimed at expanding international collaboration. A push by NATO members to increase defense spending will benefit space. And defense experts warn that bureaucratic obstacles and sluggish procurement processes are keeping the Pentagon from keeping up with China in space.
First Up is produced by Space News, the industry standard for professional space journalism. Visit spacenews.com for breaking news, policy updates, and original analysis.
We begin today with news that NASA Administrator nominee Jared Isaacman told senators he believed NASA should pursue human moon and Mars programs simultaneously. At his confirmation hearing Wednesday, he told the Senate Commerce Committee that he supported a human return to the moon before 2030, even while stating that NASA should prioritize sending American astronauts to Mars. He said that NASA could be paralleling the lunar and Martian initiatives. Isaacman endorsed the Artemis effort, including the use of the SLS and Orion at least for near-term missions. Isaacman also supported continuing operation of the International Space Station to 2030 as NASA shifts to commercial stations. While he said that he has not been in contact with Elon Musk since being nominated, he declined repeatedly to say if Musk was present when President Trump offered him the NASA job. International space agencies stressed the importance of partnerships with the United States and each other despite geopolitical strains. Representatives of several agencies around the world emphasized during a space symposium panel Wednesday that strong, cooperative relationships are essential for achieving ambitious missions and ensuring space remains a peaceful domain for exploration and commerce. Those comments came despite uncertainty over future collaborations and investments caused by trade wars and other geopolitical challenges. Military space alliances are also largely unaffected by geopolitics. Air Marshal Paul Godfrey, former commander of the UK Space Command, who currently serves at the Pentagon on the US Space Force staff, said at Space Symposium it was business as usual in military space cooperation, suggesting that rifts that hinder other aspects of transatlantic cooperation don't impact space issues as much. General Chance Saltzman, chief of space operations of the US Space Force, used a keynote address at the conference to emphasize the Space Force's push to deepen international partnerships, a move he said is essential to staying ahead of threats and maintaining technological interoperability. The Space Force is preparing a strategy aimed at expanding international collaboration. General Saltzman said at Space Symposium he will soon release an international partnership strategy, describing it as a framework to enhance collaboration with allies, improve interoperability, maximize information sharing, and secure collective interests in space. The strategy is currently in its final coordination steps, he said, and will be released in the coming weeks. One key element of the policy involves leveraging the comparative advantages of different partners, from launch capacity to geographic locations of ground stations. A push by NATO members to increase defense spending will benefit space. At a NATO summit meeting in June, member states may agree to increase defense spending from a current commitment of 2% of GDP to 3.5%, which would add about $400 billion a year to military budgets. Some of that additional spending will go to space programs, officials said at Space Symposium, such as what one called effects-based space capability targets for each ally. Defense experts warn that bureaucratic obstacles and sluggish procurement processes are keeping the Pentagon from keeping up with China in space. Retired General John Hyten, former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, claimed in an interview that U.S. military capabilities in space are basically the same as 10 years ago, even as China and Russia have advanced their own military space systems. He blamed the labyrinthine acquisition process that hampers rapid modernization, saying military leaders need more flexibility to procure the systems they need, while also criticizing continuing resolutions and delayed appropriations that create funding uncertainty that further slows procurement. In other news, NASAspaceflight.com reports that weather scrubbed a launch attempt Wednesday of the first operational Project Kuiper satellites. United Launch Alliance called off the Atlas V launch Wednesday evening from Cape Canaveral after weather failed to improve during a two-hour launch window for the KA-01 mission. ULA did not immediately announce a new launch date. The Atlas V is carrying 27 Kuiper satellites, the first in a constellation intended to include more than 3,600 spacecraft that will provide broadband services for Amazon. Rocket Lab believes it has found a niche for its Electron rocket that does not compete head-to-head with SpaceX rideshare launches. Rocket Lab CEO Peter Beck said in an interview that the company is seeing strong demand for Electron from customers deploying smallsat systems that need more control over schedule and orbit, an advantage offsetting the lower cost of rideshare launches. The company is targeting at least 20 Electron launches this year. Other companies have failed to tap that market, Beck argued, because of technical or financial problems, or choosing to develop vehicles in the one-ton class that he believes fall in a no-man's land between Electron and large rideshare missions. An exercise in the coming weeks will test how the Artemis II mission will deal with space weather events. The tabletop exercise at the end of April and early May will simulate the effects of solar storms taking place during Artemis II, the first crewed mission to leave Earth orbit and the protection of its magnetosphere since Apollo 17. That will include understanding how to best monitor and predict solar activity and relay warnings to the crew. If there was a major solar storm during Artemis II, the crew does have the ability to huddle in a makeshift pillow fort storm shelter inside Orion. Space and AI experts say the space industry should be doing more with AI technologies. At a recent symposium, speakers said the space industry has been slower than others to adopt AI in both spacecraft and ground systems, which some attributed to a more conservative mindset among traditional space companies. "If you say that you're not doing AI, people think you're very strange," said one NASA official at the meeting. One satellite manufacturer predicts a surge of orders for geocommunications satellites, although one's far smaller than traditional models. Emil de Reich, CEO of SWISS-12, said in an interview that he believed one-ton geo satellites like what his company is producing can unlock new markets for such satellites, from secure national connectivity to targeted broadband services. Orders for commercial geo satellites, which once averaged around 20 per year, fell to just 6 in 2024. But de Reich said demand for small geo satellites could push those orders above historic levels in just a few years. The Huntsville Times reports that the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee is expecting a decision soon on moving the headquarters of Space Command. Representative Mike Rogers, Republican, Alabama, said in a podcast interview this week that he expected President Trump to announce later this month that Space Command headquarters would be moved to Huntsville, Alabama. That announcement, he suggested, could be linked to the Senate confirmation of Troy Mank as Air Force Secretary. NASA's Juno spacecraft went into safe mode during its latest close approach to Jupiter. The spacecraft went into safe mode twice last week, shortly before and again after the closest point in its elliptical orbit around Jupiter. Controllers have since put the spacecraft back into normal operations as they investigate what happened. Juno went into safe mode on two previous occasions since entering orbit around Jupiter in 2016, and in those cases fully recovered.